Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 through the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Connor Newt is in today. Hello, Connor.
Hello, Jared.
So we're getting over the sick, and that's good because training camp started today. And it started today with that big, and I got to give you credit, that very big press conference today that Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi did. I actually laughed out loud. I heard Paul and Joe this morning talk about, say, good job on the Titans to have this decision-maker press conference. They don't usually do things like this. Good job. It's required by the NFL. So that's why they did it. But, again, at least they did it. And there's a text into the Midday Show on the text line that I want to start the program off because this was my biggest takeaway from the entire Brinker-Borgonzi press conference. Jeff said to the Midday Show, to DVD, guys, the remaining Titan fans are sick of the incompetence of this organization putting a bottom-feeding team on the field, a team that is not worthy of a primetime game. This organization has Nashville on the hook for billions for a new stadium. They have PSLs and tickets to sell for a new stadium and one season to show market improvement before the stadium opens. Actually, they have two. I believe they rarely ever speak the truth to the press and the remaining fans about their concerns. As for fan loyalty, I believe they are playing with fire. People are done paying a premium to watch a Chinese fire drill. Jeff, very frustrated. But I actually listened to that press conference, and I thought, for the first time in a long time, it felt to me like the Titans and the hierarchy representing the Titans actually told you the truth about this team and this season. This was Chad Brinker when asked about the expectations for this upcoming season, given the fact that when he got promoted into the big chair, or at least more visibly into the big chair, Chad Brinker said in January, we need to be patient. And he was asked, very good question by Gentry Estes, about the patience and where this team is now. And here's what Chad Brinker said.
Nobody wants to hear that word, patience. I get that. But the reality is we understand where we are as a roster. We got a lot of work to do. And we're going to be relying on a lot of young players this season to carry this football team. And we need those veteran players as well to help those young players grow. So there will be some challenges, but I do want to see our football team improve from day to day to week to week to where by the end of the season, you know, we'll see what we look like. Hopefully we're healthy. This is a game, it's a war of attrition. So you got to be healthy and there's just a lot of work to do, so it's hard to really define, you know, if you're asking me what does success look like in 2025, you know, I think that's for you guys to write about. I just want to see this team get better, and we'll go through another, season this year, acquisition, you know, where we got the first waiver claim. We're going to constantly be looking to upgrade this roster. If guys aren't getting the job done, then we'll get guys in here that will. So the top of the roster is just as important as the bottom.
Okay. Connor, how long was that cut?
1 minute and 10 seconds.
Do you want me to translate it for you in about 3 seconds?
Yes, sir.
They're going to be bad. He's telling you they're going to be bad. They're going to be bad this year. He's telling you. Hey, you know, people don't want to be patient, but that's what it's going to take. And we got holes on the roster we're going to have to fill. And all I hope from the boys this year is that they give it their best. That's all we hope for. We're going to try to get some guys in here. And if guys can't do it, then we're going to do whatever it takes to find somebody else. But I just hope the team goes out there and gets better every week. I just hope the team plays hard. I just hope that he's telling you. They're going to be bad. This team is bad. Once again, the top 10 lists that ESPN compiles from coaches, scouts, and executives in the NFL, it's not the end-all, be-all as far as talent evaluation is concerned, projecting what it's going to be like next season or the upcoming season, but it's probably a pretty good representation. You have one player on a top 10 list, and that's Jeffrey Simmons, who's the fourth best tackle in the NFL according to that list. One player. That's it. This is a bad team. And I actually find it refreshing because I have to ask, when is the last time the Titans told you the truth? Don't get me started on the sunshine pumping we had to go through every single day. We had to bring it up. I had to tell you this crap Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan are saying it doesn't make any sense. They don't have a right tackle. But Jared, Bill Callahan and Brian Callahan, they think they can fix PT. You'll see. I'm like, okay, yeah, fine. By week three, everybody knew. Yeah, that was bullcrap. As Maury Povich would say, the lie detector determined that was a lie. With Vrabel and Carthon that year they were together, it was a maze of, do these guys even like each other? Do these guys even talk to each other? Who's actually calling the shots? Did Vrabel want to make that move? Did Carthon make that draft pick? Again, they never told you the truth. Vrabel got up there and they had to ask Vrabel in his last press conference, do you want to be here? And Vrabel gave this long-winded answer in which he said yes, but he was really saying no. They never told you the truth. Even John Robinson, I asked John Robinson a week before the 2022 NFL draft. I said, what is the likelihood that A.J. Brown gets traded on Thursday night? And John Robinson said, I don't foresee that happening. Bull crap. When's the last time the Titans told you the truth? It may not be the truth you want to hear because you may want to think this team's going to be good. But if you're a Titan fan and you're mad at the organization because you feel like they lie to you with the sunshine pumping they've done over the last couple of years, I get it. I understand. Because I hate to break it to you, but they have lied to you. They have lied to you. Or they're too stupid to know the truth. It's one or the other. I don't know. You know, I had people tell me after Vrabel got fired, Rand Carthon will show you. And I think they believed that. I just don't think they could see the incompetence like I could. With Brinker, I have no idea if this guy has a clue as to what he's doing running this operation. With Borgonzi, I'm not going to lie to you, I get some serious John Robinson vibes listening to him talk. You know, he's so no-nonsense, which is good because the rest of the organization is all nonsense. But it's like his cuts in this press conference were 13 seconds. He doesn't want to talk. I mean, he cannot bullcrap long enough like Rand Carthon could or Brian Callahan does. Or it's very, honestly, Vrabel of him, kind of the way it's like, okay, I can't just bull crap long enough on this. So I'm going to tell you it's Legarius Sneed's knee that's actually the problem, even though we spent an entire year not telling the truth about what was actually wrong with Legarius Sneed. So I'm sorry. This is refreshing to hear Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi basically tell you this team's not going to be very good. Or at least don't set your expectations for this team to be very good. What would you rather hear? The truth, which may be inconvenient, or a bunch of sunshine that doesn't mean anything? They didn't get up there today and pump that sunshine the way they've been pumping it. There was no, we've checked every box on offense from the number one starter to the furthest backup. Again, I heard that last year with all the sunshine pumping that was coming through every door, window, and chimney. And I'm like, you do know that you don't have a right tackle, right? And it's like, blasphemy! We've checked every box! 3 weeks into the year, Jalen Duncan is going in at right tackle against the Packers. Malik Willis is lighting you up on the scoreboard. It's like, yeah, you don't have a right tackle. Again, everybody wants to say things like, we're going to win the Super Bowl, and we love this team. We're so excited for the season, and we're this, and we're that. The Titans cannot say that to anybody with a straight face because this team blows. And it has been incompetence at the highest levels over the last couple of years. Drafting guards who aren't very good with the 11th overall pick. Drafting a left tackle who's really a right tackle with the 7th overall pick. Will Levis at quarterback. a running back who's not even that good with no ACL in the third round. Trading for Legarius Sneed, who apparently also might not have an ACL. I don't even know what's up with that knee. The Titans are years away from being capable to compete for a Super Bowl. Probably two, if absolutely everything goes right. And that includes Cam Ward exploding and being the guy, i.e. Jaden Daniels. If he's Jaden Daniels, which I don't think he is, and none of the gurus thought he was, but if he's Jaden Daniels and he's the guy, then by next year, you might, if everything else goes right, be competing for the Super Bowl. But it's probably more likely 3 or 4 years away, kind of like it was with Mariota at quarterback, if Cam becomes a good starter and then you have to build the entire team around him. But at least today, Brinker and Borgonzi got up there and they admitted it. They said, hey, we want to get better. Because that's the only expectation they can have. They don't think they're competing for the Super Bowl. They don't think they're making the playoffs. They don't think they're going to compete in the AFC South. Have things happened before in the NFL? And it's crazy at the end of December that Mike Mularkey, that first year after inheriting the worst team in the NFL, was actually competing for a playoff spot on Christmas Eve of 2016. Yeah, that stuff happens. Is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. But unlike last year when it was, you'll see, this year it's, I mean, I hope, but I'm not betting on it. And for the first time in what feels like an eon, I feel like the Titans are actually telling you the truth. You may not like it, but that is the truth. This is a bad team. It needs a lot of work, and they know it. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. My favorite thing from today's press conference came from Big Joe, who said this morning he was going to ask this question, but the reaction was my favorite. And again, what it really tells you about this team, we'll get to that next. Snowman and Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Last three questions right here, guys.
Simple question. The team you put on the field tomorrow, can that team win the Super Bowl?
Listen, that's always the goal every year. Yeah. We also realize we have a lot of work to do on this roster.
The question of the day from Big Joe, who was on the go at the press conference today, saying the team you put on the field tomorrow, can they win the Super Bowl? There's like a 5-second pause, and Brinker and Borgonzi look at each other like, so how do they know? Because that's what they're saying. No, this team cannot win the Super Bowl. And I'll say this, good on Big Joe to ask about that, because even though we all know the answer is no, even though it was awkward there for a second when Brinker and Borgonzi were like, holy crap, how do we answer this question? Like, I at least... Now we know there's no gray area here as to where the decision makers with this team stand. This time last year, you guys were telling me this team was going to be good. I kept saying, no, they're not. They don't have a right tackle. They're not going to be good. And then I'd proceed to tell you the right tackle story. You'd get mad that I told the right tackle story again. And then by week three, it's like, oh, damn, Jared was right. These guys are telling you, yo, this team, we got holes on the roster. Paul asked a question today. You know, with Lorenzo Carter retiring, how can you feel good about edge rusher? The truth is, they don't. But they just didn't have the resources to go get help at edge rusher. So they're not going to sack the quarterback this year. Denard Wilson gets up there. You ask him, hey, why don't you get any sacks? The answer is because the players they have aren't good enough to get sacks. That's why. When Javon Kearse and Kevin Carter and Albert Haynesworth and the late, great Josh Evans and Robert Smith and those guys were on the team, they got sacks. You know why they got sacks? Because they were good enough to get sacks. These guys ain't Javon Kearse and Kevin Carter. So that's why you're not getting sacks. But Denard Wilson gets up there and acts like we're all morons and talks about, well, here's all these different ways you can get sacks. It's like, yes, you have guys good enough to go beat the offensive lineman to go sack the quarterback. That's how you get sacks. So again, at least, hey, they're telling you, we're not good. This is going to take time. So that should put the lid on any false assumptions that people are going to make here in town because they want to about Cam Ward. And Cam Ward being Jaden Daniels or C.J. Stroud. Because Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud were essentially competing for the Super Bowl in year one. C.J. Stroud got to the divisional round of the playoffs. If you get to the divisional round of the playoffs, you are essentially competing for the Super Bowl. Jaden Daniels was in the NFC title game. You are literally competing for the Super Bowl when you're in the conference championship game. This team's going to be bad. They know it. And what they're really trying to do is they're really trying to develop as many core pieces as possible. So when this team gets good again, if this team gets good again, how many of these players are going to be a part of the solution? And the answer is not every single guy they drafted. They hope that's the case, but that's not the answer. Think of when the Titans were good last time and the core pieces. Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard, A.J. Brown, Jonnu Smith, Jack Conklin, Ben Jones, Harold Landry, even guys like Jayon Brown. Core pieces to that group. So the Titans are looking at it now saying, all right now we got to start building core pieces. Yes, Cam Ward has to be a core piece in order for this to work, or else everybody's getting fired. If that's a bust, everybody's gone, and there'll be a new regime in when they open the new stadium. But Cam's got to be a core piece. They hope that Femi Oladejo's a core piece. Right now, I think they think, even when this team gets good again, 3 years from now, Simmons will still be a core piece. Dan Moore will be a core piece. Again, that's why they paid him. And how many other guys are there? And that's what they're trying to figure out. Is Jarvis Brownlee Jr. a core piece? They hope he becomes one, but I don't think you can say 3 years from now, Jarvis Brownlee Jr. for sure is going to be starting at corner. That's what they're doing right now. And then they need veterans in there, like Xavier Woods and Kevin Zeitler, to kind of lift up the other guys. Is J.C. Latham going to be a core piece? They hope at right tackle, the same way Jack Conklin was a core piece, so let's put Kevin Zeitler next to him and in the same meeting room with him so that he can kind of help show him the way. And again, with this team being as bad as it is, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025 here on the program. One texter says, I like Borgonzi. I think Callahan's gone after the year. Don't think he wanted to keep him. With that said, Daddy Callahan would be gone too. But please, Titans, truth me to death, it is respectable. You know, I remember during COVID, 5 years ago, and it's crazy that that was over 5 years ago because it doesn't feel like it was that long ago, but hey, life comes at you fast. I remember during COVID, there was all this stuff out there that, you know, the doctor said this, and then the doctor said that, and then the doctor said this, and even though I'm pretty much on the side of doctors when it comes to medical advice, they did, after all, go to medical school. They, after all, are practicing in the field. There were some misrepresentations. Early on, doctors said, don't wear masks, it doesn't matter, because they didn't want people to go out and buy up all the masks so that the people in the hospital could wear masks. And then they said the masks matter, and that people are like, so what, do they matter or do they not matter? You said they didn't matter, now they matter? Do they? I understand. But sometimes people just want to be shot straight. I mean, I know we all want to be excited for the season. I know we all, you know, as a business, you want people to buy tickets. You don't really have to have people buy tickets because, A, visiting fans will buy tickets. So the Kansas City game, even if the Titans stink, that's going to get sold out. But also, the TV deals are so good, it doesn't matter if you sell any tickets in the NFL. So that's the first part, which is I know you want people to be excited. And I know you're trying to sell PSLs for this stadium. And I saw PK had a story out a couple months ago where the inflation building costs are going to hit the Titans pretty hard. So they're going to need to sell those PSLs. Tell the people the truth. Just be honest. Just shoot me straight, Doc. That's all I want. Andrew says, Jared, I can agree it's refreshing. That press conference felt like an intervention. Instead of saying we're excited about the possibility of being good, they essentially said we're terrible and have to work really hard for a while in order to not be terrible. Agreed. Like, I'm fine with understanding that, like, I'm not of this belief that the Titans are going to be bad forever. I know people want to think, you know, Jared Stillman. I mean, I got it from one, you know, media person this week. Again, God forbid you be critical in a town where you have the worst football team and the third worst hockey team and all these people that cover the team. And I'm not saying everybody's like this. I'm just saying some of you are. You don't want to go root for the team instead of actually analyze the team. And that's your business. That's fine. But it's like, oh, you're just so pessimistic. I think there's a chance for this team to get out of this. But you have to be honest about where you are in order to be able to do it. You have to admit, like, hey, we got to get this right. We got to get that right. And we got to do this right. And we got to do that right. Instead of Rand that just, you know, oh, we just sprinkled some magic fairy dust on it and we're going to be good. And that press conference today was not that. That press conference today was not some sort of AP English essay in which we had to decode every single nook and cranny that William Shakespeare or Virginia Woolf was trying to hide through the text like some sort of Rhodes Scholar. They said, look, we're not going to be very good, guys. Like, we're bad. Like, we're going to try to get better. And we're going to have to do a lot of work. And there's some guys that might be a part of the solution. And there are guys that may be part of the problem. We're going to get them out of here. And I can live with that. Now, when you go into year three and you're like, hey, we're bad and it's still going to take, that's a little different. But they're not. This is year one of telling the truth. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. There was one thing that they did talk about today that I heard and I'm like, yes, this is what I've been trying to tell you, and nobody for whatever reason wants to hear it. We'll get to that coming up next, and then back to your phone. Stillman and Company, 1025 the game.
Will felt that he had, I guess, a legitimate shot at winning the starting job, and is there any chance that played a role in his deciding to go through with the surgery?
You'd have to ask Will. There was competition. That's what we stated from the beginning. That's what we're preaching is competition, and nothing's really going to change with that.
There you go. That was Mike Borgonzi today. And so he got a bunch of questions about Will Levis. Said, well, you know, after the season, the doctors and the second opinion said rest and see how it is. And then he participated in the offseason program. He went out to California with Jordan Palmer. I mean, I talked to somebody over at Vanderbilt who said he'd been throwing over there constantly throughout the break. And so on the eve of training camp, Levis decides, let me get the surgery and I'll just have it. And, you know, I had to text Blaine Bishop today. I love Blaine Bishop. He was a great Titan. He was a very competitive player. And I heard where Blaine said that, you know, well, hey, you know, I've had times where I was dinged up and made it through the season and then had to have off-season surgery. And, you know, you put it off or you could have it then or you could. And I had to text Blaine today and I said, Blaine, these players aren't made like you. Like the compete level, that's what we hear Derek talk about some of these guys. When Derek and Blaine talk about players that are losers, I think to myself, you can't put yourself in their shoes because that's not how you two were built. Those guys are the ultimate competitors. They're built differently. And it's a different era, I get. But they kept asking about Levis, and finally Mike Borgonzi said something. It was a good question from Paul about the quarterbacks that they have. Terry McCormick tweeted this out yesterday. He said they're not going to go look for a fourth quarterback. People are like, well, who should the Titans go get you? I heard the midday show today. Should they be interested in Carson Wentz? It's like, dude, they're not getting another quarterback. Brandon Allen is the backup quarterback. Brandon Allen was always going to be the backup quarterback. I said this yesterday. But for some reason, the national media, they're like, oh, with Will Levis out, he and Cam Ward were going to do battle for the starting job. And they were, no, they weren't. No, they were not. Cam Ward is battling against Cam Ward for the starting job. Is Cam ready? Would it hurt Cam if he played right away Does Cam need to get the reps on the field during the games to improve? That's what matters. Not whether or not Cam Ward versus Will. No, that's made up bull crap. They don't even do that anymore in the NFL. Quarterback competitions and training camp. Those don't exist. They know who the guy is going into camp, and they operate accordingly. Even if it's going to be a bridge situation where we're going to sit somebody for a little bit. And if they were going to do that, it was going to be Brandon Allen. And I've been saying that since March. But again, TV yesterday, well, this clears the path for Cam Ward and everybody else. Are they going to go get a backup quarterback now? Listen to Mike Borgonzi talk about Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle, but really Brandon Allen. Brandon Allen is the backup quarterback. Play the cut.
Where does the confidence in Allen and Boyle come from, considering how poorly they've played when they've had the opportunity to be on the field in an actual regular season game?
You know, they have game reps. They have starter reps. You know, I think Brandon, you know, obviously was with Brian in Cincinnati, has a really good understanding of the offense. And listen, he had a really good offseason here too. I was impressed with him. So, you know, I've watched Brandon over the years, and you know, every time he comes out there, he competes hard. So, you know, we're going to continue to evaluate that position, like every position in training camp. So,
he just told you, Brandon Allen's the backup. Why are you confident in Brandon and Tim? And he said basically nothing about Tim Boyle, who was brought in essentially to be a camp arm. I really think Tim Boyle, and he goes back to the Packers with Brinker, I think Tim Boyle is here to essentially be a coach. That it would not surprise me if Tim Boyle, after he gets cut in training camp, becomes next season the assistant quarterbacks coach or something like that of the Titans. But Brandon Allen is the backup quarterback. So when Borgonzi's sitting there saying, like, hey, Brandon, you know, he's been a backup quarterback. He knows the offense with Coach Callahan. He was in San Francisco. He's telling you, he's a backup. And that's what we need, is we need a backup. He was always going to be the backup. That's what he was under Callahan in Cincinnati. That's what he was last year in San Francisco. That's what he's paid $1 million to do, is to be the backup. He is no different than last year when Jacoby Brissett signed to be the bridge quarterback for the New England Patriots, who then after 3 weeks turned it over to Drake May, or Josh Dobbs this year, who is the backup to Drake May. He is no different than those two guys. He's no different than Josh Dobbs. Last year, it was him and Josh Dobbs for the backup job in San Francisco. That's what he is. And Titans fans are like, but he sucks. Well, so does Brissett. So does Dobbs. So do all those guys. They all suck. They're all backups. He's not some kind of guy like Sam Darnold, who you pay $10 million to because he's been a starter, and you say, hey, if this guy has to play, then he has to play. That's no. He is the caddy to Cam Ward. Now, if they determine, hey, Cam needs to sit on the bench because Cam's not ready and we don't want to throw him out there at Denver, they're fine putting Brandon Allen out there again the same way the Patriots put out Jacoby Brissett last year. They're fine with that. That's what this is. And I just, there were so many people and so many fans and television yesterday. It was like, oh, the Titans backup, Will Levis. Brandon Allen was always going to be ahead of Will Levis. Always. Crazy. Josh says, as a Titan fan, the only thing I'm excited or hopeful for is to simply see Cam Ward play. We know this team is terrible, but if we walk away from the season knowing we have our quarterback, then I will take it. So I am going to speak from my experience as a Titans fan. And I'm going to tell you that I expect this to be the reaction for the fan base after this season, no matter how many games they win. They could win 3 games, they could win 6 games, they could win 10 games. And the reaction after the season will be, well, we found our guy at quarterback. We've got our guy at quarterback. It is impossible for Cam Ward to do anything in which Titan fans will not think after this year they've got their guy. And you want to know why I know that? Because Marcus Mariota's first year, the Titans won 3 games and were the worst team in the NFL. And Mariota was hurt for half that season because they couldn't protect him. And after the year was over, we all said, Well, they've got their guy. Mariota is the guy. And we need a coach to develop Mariota, because Mariota, Vince Young, was something like 8-4 as a starter as a rookie. He went to the Pro Bowl. He was a rookie of the year. I want to say they won something like 7 of their last 8. And what do we all say after that? They've got their guy. Vince Young was on the cover of Madden Football. New England, they didn't win anything this past year. But they've got their guy, Drake May. We need Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels to fix Drake May, or to keep Drake May, to set him up for success. We need to get him a tackle. We need to get him a receiver. We need to, but we got our guy. I mean, for crying out loud, that's what this town did with Will freaking Levis. He won 3 games as a starting quarterback. 3 games. The miracle in Miami, that unbelievable debut, and then that one game against that terrible, terrible Carolina Panther team in which they won by 7 points. He won 3 games as a starting quarterback, and this city was, we got our quarterback. Amy said it to Mike Keith with a straight face. So when you tell me, like, oh, I just want to know after this year if we've got our guy, everybody in town is going to think that Cam is the guy. This is the way it works when it comes to young quarterbacks in the NFL. They can't do any wrong. Anything that happens is everybody else's fault. We don't have any receivers. We don't have a good offensive line. The coach, Matt Eberflus in Chicago, is holding him back. It's never the rookie quarterback's fault. It never is, and it's never going to be. So it's not going to be any different here. So, I mean, I'm interested to see Cam Ward too. But I'm not going to sit here and say that after this year people are going to say, oh, I don't know if we've got the guy. I already know. There will be an entire fan base. And I know I often do this where I take the loudest, craziest, most irrational people from either the YouTube chat or the text line, and I lump all the Titan fans up into this ball, and I say, you people, and I know that that doesn't always represent the fan base, and sometimes I do feel bad saying this, but I actually think that in this particular instant, the idea that no matter what he does this season, Titan fans will walk out of this and say, we've got our guy, Cam is our guy, I am going to apply to 99% of the fan base. And trust me, I was that way with Mariota, who I didn't want them to draft, and I was that way with Vince Young, who I thought was going to be the next Steve McNair. So I'm not innocent in this either, because I've done it. With Levis, I was like, we'll see. We shall see with Will Levis. I mean, last year, Joe and Paul were, you got to decide today, you know, you got to bet your house. Is Levis going to be the guy or not the guy? And they said, yeah, he'll be the guy. You know, if I have to bet one way or the other, I was like, what? These young quarterbacks, man, they fail. Like, there's a chance Caleb Williams is a bust. There's a chance Drake May's a bust. There's even a chance, now, I don't think this will happen, but there's a chance Jaden Daniels ends up not being that dude. Again, Vince Young, I lived through it. That dude was on the cover of Madden Football after his rookie year. And he ended up being remembered as a bust. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More your phones. 615-737-1025. Your reaction again to the opening of training camp. Hell yes. By the way, training camp with the practices gets started tomorrow as the Titans prepare for the 2025-2026 season. Chase and Big Joe will be live out of practice. Coverage of Titans training camp is presented by Messero and 12 South and Parman Energy. So we're excited about that. Also, 102.5 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser, Souls for the 615, to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. Help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more info and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Messero in 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bowl plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality.
I guess both of you like what you've seen from Cam through the course of the offseason. What do you hope to see from him here as camp begins?
Yeah, just growth. I think, you know, coach has mentioned in the spring he's really happy with the progression that he's had. And it's just really to continue to grow the playbook, the rapport with the receivers, you know, reading coverages, all that stuff that goes into, you know, playing in this league at the quarterback position. So, you know, we feel really good about the progress that he's made and you know, where he's headed.
There you go. That was Mike Borgonzi. Again, everything's going to – people probably hear that. That was just the most let-me-get-through-it answer. You know, so what have you seen from Cam? Yeah, Cam's looked really good. We're really excited. You know, it's you know, we're going to look for growth and development, and we're just excited to start training Cam. People are going to be like, Mike Borgonzi, he's so excited about Cam. Because, again, that's just – anything Cam does this year, everybody will go bananas. I'll have no idea what it means. Unless, again, he's C.J. Stroud and is leading fourth quarter comebacks the way Stroud did as a rookie, where I was like, holy crap. This guy is throwing right into the perfect spot. I mean, it was hard not to watch C.J. Stroud. And I didn't even like C.J. Stroud coming out. But watching C.J. Stroud and not thinking, holy crap, this guy, he can freaking play. One texter into the text line says that Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker were not confused about the question Big Joe asked. They were trying not to laugh at Big Joe's dumbass question. Can we get Big Joe's question back, Connor? So, again, Big Joe asked a question that most people would not ask in these press conferences. And I think a lot of times, especially, you know, sorry, Corey, the TV people, they don't want to ask a question where, like, Vrabel will get mad at them. You know, for some reason, it's, like, embarrassing. I don't know. But they are sometimes afraid to ask a question that I think a lot of fans want to know. I actually thought this was a good question because let's get right down to the chase. You know, do you think this team's legit? I don't think it was that they were confused by the question. I think it was they were unprepared for the question because nobody asks blunt questions like this. Play the cut.
Last three questions right here, guys.
Simple question. The team you put on the field tomorrow, can that team win the Super Bowl?
Listen, we have, yeah. That's always the goal every year. Yeah. We also realize we have a lot of work to do on this roster.
I mean, they looked at each other like, how do we answer this one? Because, like, I mean, no, but we can't say no. We can't say, we can't be asked, you know, can this team compete for the Super Bowl? And we say, no, this team sucks. You can't say that. An owner can say it because what are you going to do, fire the owner? But a general manager, they can't say that because these guys are putting their lives on the line to compete this week. So they weren't going to say that, but it's not like they were confused. They weren't confused. They were just unprepared for it because it was like, I mean, how do we say this team sucks without just saying this team sucks? Dustin says, Jared, I love you, but come on, whether there's known competition for quarterback or any position, stated or not, there's natural competition. If not, you've got an issue of personnel on your team. So this is why in press conferences you almost never hear anybody say, and I actually found it refreshing when Mike Vrabel was talking about Corey Davis one time. It was like, he's our starting receiver. Just like, he's starting. The idea that every coach perpetuates is that every job is open for competition all the time. And that is simply not true. It is simply not the case. And I'll use last year as an example. Last year, Brian Callahan told us there was going to be competition at right tackle, that they thought there were physical traits that PT and Jalen Duncan and John Ojukwu had, and they were going to battle it out. When the pads went on, that was going to determine who was going to play. And then PT missed a bunch of time because, of course, PT was hurt. So PT was out. And he missed a bunch of time, and Duncan was out there, and Ojukwu were out there, and Callahan's, oh, yeah, they're doing a good job, but they weren't because they suck. And then PT came back and played in like four practices, and it was like, all right, he's starter. There was no competition. There was no competition. They said they were going to compete at right guard. Saahdiq Charles quit after 3 minutes, and they said, okay, Dylan Raidens, you're the right guard. There you go. In fact, there's less competition for this roster than you think. Now, I'm telling you right now, barring injury, Jarvis Brownlee is starting at corner, and there is nothing that can happen, barring an injury, in training camp or the preseason that's going to change that. Chigakonkwo, for the umpteenth time, is starting at tight end, even though he's not very good. One texter said, Jared, I remember distinctly the Monday after the Miami game, you said we've got our quarterback in Will Levis. Go back to the tape. You said it. You were wrong just like everybody else. That is not what I said. First of all, that was the Tuesday after the game because that was a Monday night game. Secondly, my take at the time, we were at Bridgestone Arena, and I said, this proves to me that he can do it. Again, with a lot of these guys, there's no proof that these guys can even play in the NFL. With Levis, there's proof he could play in the NFL. He's just too much of a loser and too much of a meathead to ever put it all together and become a great quarterback. I did not say, he's the guy after the Miami game. I said, this proves he can do it because now he's done it. You lead a fourth quarter drive, you've proven you can do it. But there's the difference between, hey, he can do it, and he's going to do it. Fourth quarter, ball in Josh Allen's hands, he's going to do it. There's a difference between the two. And that was my exact take right then and there. Remember it like it was yesterday. One texter says, remind me again how weak this quarterback draft class was. So Cam Ward was the only guy that had a consensus first-round grade, and not everybody had a first-round grade on Ward, but for the most part, he had a first-round grade. And Shedeur Sanders, who all the gurus thought was good, Shedeur Sanders went in the fifth round. That's how weak this quarterback class was. By the way, not that I've been keeping my eye on Browns camp or anything, I do think the Browns preseason will be at least a little interesting because we'll get to see Shedeur play quarterback. But apparently, I saw a report. I forget who reported it, so I apologize. But I saw a report that it seems like the battle for quarterback at Browns camp is between Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel. Holy crap. Stephen A. Smith is going to be so mad if Dylan Gabriel ends up as the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, I'm here for it. Look, I mean, I'm a Dylan Gabriel fan, but my God, I mean, look, I watched Oregon football because my buddy's the OC and my buddy loves him. And my buddy was, you know, the OC for Bo Nix, and he just swears by Bo Nix. And I'm like, yeah, but you're biased. And then Bo Nix had the season he had. So when my buddy swears by Dylan Gabriel, I'm like, okay, but you're biased, but you were kind of right about Bo Nix. So do I need to take that into consideration here? But I've watched Dylan Gabriel play enough college, and I've watched Shedeur Sanders play enough. Shedeur Sanders, I mean, I think he's better than Dylan Gabriel. But it sounds like in Cleveland, I mean, they drafted him ahead of Shedeur Sanders, and it sounds like he might be the quarterback. And Stephen A. is going to be very, very mad if that happens. 615-737-1025, which was our phone number on the program. We'll get back to more of your phones. Plus, one thing I was very curious about in the press conference today, were Brinker and Borgonzi going to put their stamp of approval on one of what I think is the most ridiculous story of the offseason? We'll get to that next. Stoneman & Company, 102.5 The Game.